In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's morning mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Stella Barboa and Rosie Sanchez, as well as for the family of Alcario and Ramona Sandoval. It's First Friday. First Friday of the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus. It is a day of reparation. And so it's incumbent upon the preacher to remind you that what do we do on Fridays in order to make reparation every Friday? What is the everyday, every Friday task of every Catholic? There we go. Good, you know. Your pastor's been teaching you well. That's not a trick question. I don't usually trick, sometimes. So no meat on Fridays. That's the baseline. That's the baseline. Why don't we not eat meat on Fridays? Because the carne of our Lord was torn. So on that day, we abstain from carne. And so, because of that, to make sure that we do it every Friday, not just during Lent, which is incumbent on us as the whole church under mortal sin, but to make sure that we do it every single Friday, to recognize that every Friday is another opportunity for you and I to relive the passion of Christ, to enter more deeply into Him, and as the church has always talked about, to compassionate our Lord, to show compassion to Him, to wrap Him up, to offer Him consolations, even from our time now, which are able to reach through because God is infinite and exists outside of time and able to apply those things even to the Lord there. That's what First Fridays of Reparation are all about. Now, you're going to have a whole lot of time to do adoration today. And something that I want to share with you, I'm not going to share with you here because we have another Mass later today and I want to preach two different things so that those who assist at both will not be bored and say, oh, 9 o'clock was better, he was more awake, or, you know, he was more awake now, but it just didn't make any sense later on in the evening. So I'm going to give you something different than what I will speak about there, because it has more to do with the message of Fatima, which we're preaching upon this week. And so, for today, what is the coincidence, the providence that is going on with our readings today? Why is it that we're going through the life of Saul of Tarsus, who's going out there to persecute in Damascus, on a very time when we ourselves are going through John chapter 6? What's the meaning between the two of these? Why are they paired together? Is it just happenstance? It's not happenstance. I'm asking the question, so it's going to be a counterfactual always. Okay, it's not happenstance. Here, the reason why the two are formed together is because what is going on with Saul? What is going on with Saul is that he's there in order to do something, to do some grave evil. He is an unbeliever. He is one who is lost in his direction. And what happens? Christ comes and appears to him and says, "You are persecuting me." And he says, "Who are you? Who are you?" The Lord of glory is there before him, and he recognizes him not. And so what does the Lord do? He says, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And then his eyes are covered. He's blind for 3 days. And what happens 3 days later after the prayer of the holy man? Something like scales fall off his eyes. What is our Lord speaking about here within the gospel? He's speaking about the flesh that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. It is real flesh. It is real drink. It is real blood. That's what I am. I'm giving you the fullness of who I am. And so what you and I need today, particularly on a day of the Sacred Heart of our Blessed Lord Jesus, to meditate here upon this reparation that we're supposed to give and to spend this time in Eucharistic adoration, what is it? To ask our Lord for a true and genuine belief in His real presence in the Eucharist. He's real here. He's actually here. This is not some sort of symbol. We don't just think about our Lord Jesus when we're at Mass. We don't just hope that He's here. We don't just believe Him. And if we believe strongly enough, then it really is Him. But if somebody's not believing, then He's not. Father was an Anglican. Father was an Episcopalian. That's what Episcopalians believe. These Catholics, it's the genuine presence of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ given for you and me here within this blessed sacrament, to ask our Lord for a greater impact of what that really means, to have the scales fall from our eyes just as they fell from Him, to see Him as He truly is. He's there here for you and me. And so what can you and I meditate upon in order to deepen that for us? Well, there's a great ancient hymn that was given to us in the 1200s by one St. Thomas Aquinas. And what he pens for us, he's the one who gave us the great Mass of Corpus Christi. He was asked, along with St. Bonaventure, the two competing, in order to see who would actually be able to be the one to write the Mass of Corpus Christi because of the reality of Lanciano, that beautiful Eucharistic miracle that occurred there, the first really to be recognized by the Church in this way, so that they could have a Mass that honors the real, true presence in the Eucharist. You can go to Orvieto and see the stone which is there, and you can go to the actual place where it took place in Bolzano, the little community there, and see the corporal on which the blood of Christ was indeed spilled from that first Eucharistic miracle. You can view our Lord still Eucharistically present there in that miracle from the 700s, the 6th century. You can find Him there. He wrote a beautiful hymn, and St. Thomas Aquinas went out. What is that hymn? You know it? Adoro te devote, latens dietas. Quae si vis figuris, vere latias, tibi cor meum, totum subicit. quia tecum plentans totum deficit. That is to say, you know it, spend some time meditating upon it. Look it up in your books or see it on your phones. What does it say? We'll go over the words there. Hidden God, devoutly I adore thee, truly present underneath these veils. All my heart subdues itself before thee, since it all before thee faints and fails. Do we allow that to happen? He is there hidden under the veil of the Eucharist, this Eucharistic species, the bread which we see, all the accidents are there, but he's truly there. And so do we allow our heart to subdue itself to become calm and silent within his presence, since before thee, O God, all I am faints and fails in comparison to your presence. Just the first verse. It says, not to sigh. My second verse is my favorite. It's not the best translation that I like, but it is literal. It says, not to sight or taste or touch, be credit hearing. Only do we trust secure. I believe, for God the Son has said it, word of truth that never shall endure. The translation, tasting, touching, seeing, are in thee deceived. Only trustee, hearing, are thou out to be believed. So what do we find here? Sight fails. Touch fails. Taste fails. All our senses fail. But what is the one thing that tells you and I that this is Eucharistic bread, that this is really Christ? What is the only way that you and I can know beyond any other way? What's the only sense you and I can rely upon?
Faith
is a sense, but none of the five that are recognized. It's our hearing. And why? Why our hearing? When do we hear that it is Christ? Hoc est anim corpus meum. This is my body. And your response is what? The priest genuflects and raises our Lord on high, is to say, my Lord and my God. To say, my Lord and my God. It's only then. We can only trust hearing, because that is not the priest speaking. It is God using his own voice. And so when he claims it as himself, there it is. The Son of God has said it through the priest. The word of truth that forever will endure. This is what is going on and revealed before us. St. Paul couldn't trust his sight, couldn't trust anything that was going on. It was only his hearing that said, who am I persecuting? It is I, Christ Jesus, who you are persecuting. And that is the very thing that marked everything that he is. We could go through all the other verses which are here, but I'm pretty sure I'm out of time. And so we'll have to save that for your further meditations. But to ask our Lord for that particular grace at this time, to have a true sense of his real Eucharisticized presence as you're here, to delve more deeply into what the church proposes for you and I to believe, and the beautiful things of the tradition that are open up for us, because Christ is really, really here. He's here. And what does that mean? He's in the intimacy of your soul. You can actually talk to him and know that you're face to face with the Lord. Don't throw your prayers to heaven. You're not strong enough to throw that. That's a great distance. Don't say, God in heaven who's looking down upon me from above. No. He's here. He's absolutely here. And that is why the priest, when he prays the prayers after the consecration, he never again looks at you unless the missal instructs him to do so. He doesn't pray the Our Father looking at you or even looking at the sky. Because where is Christ? He's right on the altar. And so his eyes are directed to Christ, to God the Father, to the one he's praying to, right there on the altar. And so where should our eyes be? Right there on the altar. View the sacred species. You can't judge him by your sight. You can't judge it by your smell. You can't judge him by your taste. You can't judge him by the way he feels upon your tongue when you receive him devoutly. But you can trust in what he himself says about himself. Ask him for the grace to truly see through those veils, to ask just a little bit more that the scales may fall from your eyes just in the same way as they fell from holy Saul, who later on was to become Paul, to believe everything that the Word of God proposes for you and me, and that the tradition of the Church reminds you and me is what we place our faith in him. And when we eat this bread that comes down from heaven, it changes everything. For that which is human is united to that which is divine, which endures forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.